just sense all of us must just prepare our hearts for what God is going to do now. Just sense you must just ask the Lord to just prepare your heart, that your spirit, your whole being would be good ground for what the Lord wants to do in your life tonight. So just do that to Him tonight. Say, Lord, I consecrate myself. I choose to lay aside all distractions right now, the long weekend or the public holiday tomorrow, Lord. It doesn't compare to your presence and your word in my life tonight. And I just surrender, Lord. Just do that in your own personal way to the Lord. Prepare yourself tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we can declare our hearts to be good ground this evening. Lord, that the seed that will fall on all of our hearts this evening will bear much fruit, Lord, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Lord, we expect it tonight, and we thank you that the evil one has no hold on us, Lord. We are free to serve you and to worship you. We are free to do your will this evening, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you. Thank you for your living word tonight, that is sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. And I pray tonight that your word through my mouth, Lord, would accomplish. Thank you that this is not the word of man or the opinions of man, but we have come tonight to listen to the living word of God. And I pray that it would be clear tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. I take authority over any spirits, any evil in this place, any spirits that have caused distraction, that have caused frustration or confusion or doubt. I just take authority and say it's null and void in the name of Jesus. And tonight your word, Lord, will do what it has been set out to do from the beginning of time. Your spoken word, your living word is alive to us. I thank you tonight for the expectation that we have, Lord, to be changed tonight. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Thanks, band. It's great to have you in the house of the Lord. Are you excited this evening? Who's visiting us for the first time? Can I just see quickly to welcome? It's great to have you guys here. It's so awesome. Some of us are excited about a long weekend. But you know what the best thing is about a long weekend is that there's no work tomorrow. There's no class. So guess what? We can spend hours in the Lord's presence tonight. Okay, so are you ready for 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock finish? Is that okay? At least it'll be nice and dark, so there'll be a nice atmosphere in here, okay? Are you excited about that? In the East and in the radical countries where Christianity is persecuted, they go on for hours because they just realize when they're in the house of God, they don't take it for granted. Many times we take it for granted to come to church, amen? Because there's so many churches and it's free and we can go wherever we want to, but sometimes we must think of our other brothers and sisters who are they realize when they come together, it's just such an awesome time. So they just go on through the night. I've heard there in China and India, those people just carry on worshiping, carry on seeking God because it's so precious. So this evening, I'm trusting that it will just be such precious time in the Lord's presence. I really believe He's got a word for all of us this evening. So are you expectant? Are you ready? Some of you haven't been in church the last two Sundays. So I want to plead with you, catch up on the series on true worship. I'm going to finish this evening. I've been just talking about what true worship is. And is there anyone, by the way, who still like to go to the conference? Can I just make sure, because if you do want to go, you're free to go. But please let me know, because maybe you don't know where you're going to stay or how you're going to get there. Don't worry. There are lifts. Who's going to the conference, by the way, just quickly? Are there any lifts available still? Feel it, yeah. Black. For Twitter. There's still place for two. Saterdag, what? Wil jy Saterdag gaan? Okay, praat my na die tyd. Maar Anastasia het nog twee plekke en Ons kan lift reel, mense, maar ek wil net vir julle sê, moenie hierdie konferensie mis, as jy enigszins kan afvat, even if you can go down on the Saturday morning, it's going to be Saturday and Sunday, still going to be awesome, even if you miss two of the days. Just get there, God is going to be there, God is going to impart to us so much stuff. So please, do yourselves a stunt. Don't miss it because of finances or anything. Okay, I really want to plead with you. It's really an awesome time as a family for us to get together. And you can see on the video how much effort has been put into prepare the place. And they had a service this morning, their first service in Oudtshoorn. So they had a practice run and it just went so well. And the guys are so excited down there. So I cannot wait. So I trust that those of you are going are also amped to go and to experience God. And just to get together as a family, because God is going to say very specific things to us, okay? So I believe He's going to inspire all of us. But if you can't go, please follow on Facebook, okay? Follow, I think it's at Shofar Christian, or Shofar Christian Church. Just go into Facebook and like Shofar Christian Church's website, and you're going to get, or not website, their Facebook page, and you're going to get update after update after update. So please follow the conference on the Shofar Christian Church Facebook page, or on Twitter, just type in Shofar Christian Church or Shofar or whatever, and you will follow the conference. Okay. So let's get into this evening's sermon before I talk too much. I've got lots to share this evening. So just to sum up a little bit, what was the first message about 2 weeks ago? Anyone remember? What was true worship? We said true worship, first of all, talked about the woman at the well and having an encounter with Jesus. So first of all, we said that true worship is about a revelation of Jesus Christ. So you can write that down if you're taking notes. True worship, first of all, is about a revelation of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we said last week that true worship is allowing Jesus to be who He really is in your life. You can have an encounter with Him and have a revelation of Him, but then it's important to take it a step further and allow Jesus to be who He really is in your life and who He really wants to be in your life. And if you remember from last week, I ended off with a story of where my daughter was lying on my chest because I needed to think of ways to get her to sleep. And so I just lay back and allowed her to sleep on my chest. And she felt such a peace and she just seemed to fall asleep so easily. And I ended off with saying that I believe that once we come to that place of intimacy and allowing God to just give us rest and give us peace, then what happens is we are so close to Him, we hear His heartbeat. And just like my daughter was experiencing the warmth of my chest and hearing my heartbeat, so she just experienced the peace and was able to fall asleep. And the same with us, not that we must fall asleep, but when we experience the heartbeat of God, when we experience the closeness of God, we start to hear His heartbeat and we start to understand, what is it that God wants for us? And what is He saying to us? You see, because some of us are a little bit distant. We feel, God, are You speaking to me? Why do You need to speak to me, Lord? Am I special? Do You want to speak to me? And I want to say this evening, God is so badly wants to speak to you. And if you've heard His voice if you haven't heard His voice for a long time, then it's time to really say, Lord, I'm here. I'm ready to speak to You. I'm ready for You to speak to me, Lord, because I know that that is Your purpose, is to tell me Your will and to tell me what You want to do. And so this evening, my first scripture is found here in John 4:34. So this evening's sermon is also talking about true worship. And we're going to see this evening what true worship is as well as the other two that I've talked about already. John 4:34, Jesus said to His disciples, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." Let's all say this together. 1, 2, 3. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Say it again. My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. You see, yeah, Jesus is talking. He's just finished with a woman at the well. This woman has had this amazing revelation of who Jesus is. She's gone to tell her whole city. And the other disciples are saying, Jesus, but surely you were hungry a couple of hours ago. Surely you must be hungry now. Have you had something to eat, Jesus? Because you know, aren't you hungry? And He says to them, listen here, I have food that you don't know of. This is my true food. This is my true satisfaction, is to do the will of Him who sent me. And I've experienced it in my life. I've experienced it, you know, even on Tuesday night, there was a city intercession meeting and a couple of us leaders got together and prayed it's there on the corner of St. Andrews and President Brand Street. It's a significant place. It's this old Raadsaal, I think it's called. But apparently it was where apartheid was approved originally. Yeah, in Bloemfontein or in South Africa. So there's a guy who's actually got a church there. It's so awesome. But anyway, we were there praying in this building. It's a once a month thing. And I obviously they asked us to fast for the day and just to come together that evening and pray and seek God's face for the city specifically. So I got there and I was kind of, yeah, Lord, I just want to eat now. You know, in a way, I just want to get this meeting over with because I'm not really, you know, I'm just not at a great place now. I don't feel like this prayer meeting, but I'm doing it in obedience to you, Lord, because I know this is what I'm supposed to do. But you know, when this prayer meeting started, it's like the presence of God was just there, and I suddenly my hunger just went away. I just felt like this peace and this the anointing of God to speak to us, and God started to pray through people. Words came, and it was just such an amazing time in God's presence. And I experienced this thing of where I don't need, and when I left there, it was like, great, I'm going to have food now. But it was like, I didn't have those hunger pains that I had before. I didn't have that desire to actually eat food like I had before. When I left that meeting, I was so inspired and so challenged and so really satisfied with the fact that God is in this and God wants to use all of us to pray and to do whatever His will is, but to experience Him. And that is the true satisfaction. Yeah, I'm sure Jesus felt the same when He had just ministered to this woman. And He was a man. He was physically just as dependent upon food as we are. And He just felt He doesn't need to eat now because He's ministered the will of God and He is busy doing the will of God. And He said to the disciples, that my food is this. That's why I've come to earth. And so what I believe the Lord is saying to all of us this evening, it's the same with us. It's applicable to us as His disciples, as followers of Jesus. Our food is to do the will of Him who sent me. Our food and our true worship, I believe this evening, is to be the hands and feet of Jesus right here, right now. Can anyone agree with me? See, Jesus can save the world. Jesus can do amazing things on His own. He doesn't need us. But the good news this evening is Jesus wants to use you and He wants to use me, each and every one of us, to be His hands and feet on this earth. Isn't that the greatest privilege? That is for me the satisfaction that I need in life. That is for me the fulfillment of why I'm living. That is my purpose, is to do the will of the Father, to continue the work that Jesus started here on earth. So with that in mind, I'm going to look at a story from the Old Testament. How awesome is this? I'm preaching from the Old Testament. Okay, I know you guys don't hear too many sermons from Alistair King or from the Old Testament, but I just felt the Lord saying this evening that He wants to inspire us from this story. Many of us know it. Well-known story from Daniel about Daniel's three friends. So let's read together. If you've got your Bibles here, turn with me to Daniel chapter 3, reading from verse 12. Okay, and just to give you some background, this is where Nebuchadnezzar has appointed Daniel and his three friends to be in charge of a few things. The Jews have been sent to Babylon. They've been exiled to Babylon. And so they, in a harsh conditions, they serving and they slaves. But these three men and Daniel himself had been promoted and they were sort of serving the king. And then the king made a decree and he said, listen, yeah, all of you will bow down to my God, to my idols, yeah, that I've created. You will bow down to these gods. And so, yeah, there's a report back to the king. Some of his other people, his other fellow Babylonians have reported back to him and said, listen, yeah, there are certain Jews, reading from verse 12 here, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke and saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Say, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You will hear these three names a lot tonight. That you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up. Now if you are ready at the time, you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, the psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? So the story continues, and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered, and they say to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. And then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he spoke, commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in the army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "But look," he answered, "I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Are you still with me this evening? It's a long story, okay? But it gets interesting. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And the smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel, and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that any people, nation, or language who speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And this is the word of the Lord. Okay. It's a long passage, but I believe tonight that the Lord wants us to look at a few principles from this passage of Scripture. You see, I don't know about you, but these stories in the Old Testament are not just these stories that seem to end happily ever after. Have you read a story like this, and what comes to your mind? What do you think about? Do you just think about the end where it seems like, oh, it's great, happily ever after, everything's kosher, it's fine, they were promoted, great, life carries on? But you see, it's not just about a happily ever after ending. There's some profound truths that we can learn from this passage. Are you with me this evening? You see, being the hands and feet of Jesus, I want to say this evening, being the hands, remember we're talking here about true worship. We're talking about true worship as being the hands and feet of Jesus. And I believe this story gives us a few keys in terms of the requirements and what it takes to be the hands and feet of Jesus. There are a number of requirements, a number of factors involved here. So let's look at the first one. In Daniel 3 verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king the following, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." Okay, so yeah, they've been commanded that they will worship this God, otherwise there are consequences. And so they calmly just say to the king, "Listen here, king," and they're very respectful in this. Very respectful to the king, they don't disrespect him at all, but they just say to him, "O Nebuchadnezzar, O king, we have no need to answer you in this matter." Isn't that a lot of boldness to speak when you've been appointed as a administrator or whatever, you are appointed to serve the king, you meant to submit to the king, you are in under authority of the king, and you say to the king the following, "We have no need to answer you in this matter." That is a lot of boldness. You see, I believe that where we have missed it many times in terms of being the hands and feet of Jesus, why aren't we the hands and feet of Jesus? It's because we don't have the boldness in Christ. And I talked about it last week. I said last week that we have boldness in relationship with God. We can have a boldness to approach Him, and therefore we have a boldness in our identity with Him. And I believe we are many times caught up with fear. We are so bound with fear as to what is going to happen tomorrow. What is going to happen if I fail? What is going to happen if I don't make it in the kingdom? I'm just so trying in this kingdom thing. And the Lord is saying to us tonight, We need to have boldness. We need to have the same boldness that these three friends of Daniel had. We need to be able to stand up despite accusations, because remember, they were accused of these certain Jews. You know, they're actually such outcasts. And yes, they've been promoted, and obviously it was God's promotion. They're actually such outcasts, but yet they still stood up despite the accusations, despite the threats. They were threatened by the king, but they could, or they had the choice to still stand up and say, "Oh, king, we don't have to even reason with you in this matter, because our decision is final. We know who we worship." And you see, there's some excuses. Now, I've written down 8 excuses here that they could have made as to why they should have just done this and just gotten over with it, and life could have carried on. Okay? And they could have said, "Listen, yeah, we'll actually fall down, but we'll not actually worship the idol." Okay? This is now a lot of stuff that in our own hearts, often why we shouldn't do something that God has called us to do. When God has said to us to do something and why we don't do it, there's always lots of reasons. Okay? So these are, we can look at our own lives and say some of these reasons are applicable to us because God has told us certain things, but guess what? We've got all sorts of excuses why we shouldn't. The first one is, we'll just fall down, but we won't actually worship the idol. Okay? That's the first thing they could have said. The second thing they could have said is, you know what, we won't really become idol worshippers, but we'll worship it just this one time and God will forgive us. Does that sound familiar? We'll just do it this once, and you know, God's mercy and His forgiveness is so awesome, but let me just do this one time, okay? Then the third thing is they could have said, you know, this king has got absolute power, you know, and we must obey him. I mean, the Word of God says that we must submit under authority, and whatever they say, we must do. So we better understand, you know, submit under the authority of the king, and you know, God will understand. I mean, you know, it's okay if we just bow down this one time. The fourth thing they could say is the king appointed us. I mean, we owe this to him. You know, we're in this position. It's like, hey, you know, this is so awesome. Let's just obey him in this thing. And then number 5 is this is a foreign land. I mean, our circumstances are so tough here, so God will excuse us for following the customs of the land. Doesn't that sound familiar? Sometimes we go into places and the Lord has said, Don't follow the customs. No, no, but it's so tough, Lord. We found ourselves in this foreign land. We've gone overseas, Lord, and it's just the spiritual climate is so tough here. We'll just compromise, Lord. And then number 6, our ancestors set up idols in God's temple. I mean, this is surely not that bad if we just bow down to Him once. This isn't half as bad. Number 7, I mean, we're not hurting anybody. Doesn't that sound familiar many times in our compromise? It's actually only doing harm to us. We're not hurting anybody else. So surely it's okay, God, if we just do this thing. And then lastly, Lord, if we get ourselves killed and some pagans take our high positions, then they're not going to help these poor people in exile. So Lord, we better do this that we can just stay in this position. How many times have we been put in a position like these three men of God? How many times have we been appointed to a position and we just compromise and we please the people instead of pleasing God? You see, they could have had a lot of excuses. But before the time, they had decided. They had an identity with God that they would not compromise on. They knew that they're going to worship the living God alone. It talks here about a boldness. Boldness against compromise. Boldness against lukewarmness, against evil in our lives. Boldness to stand up for the truth. So it's not only about doing the right thing. It's actually about saying, Lord, I'm not just going to survive through life and you know, be a little goody-goody, do the right thing all the time. It's about standing up for the truth. And we'll get to that just now. It's not only about what you say. It's about what's going on in the heart. You see, what you say just comes out. It's just the fruit of what's already going on in your heart. Isn't that so? So a boldness talks here about a conviction in your heart. A boldness to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And it requires boldness, saints. I'm telling you this evening. This is not something that comes easy. It's a decision, it's a choice, but it's a growth that happens by the Holy Spirit in our lives. But it's still a choice where we say, our convictions say that we are going to be bold to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're going to be bold to stand up for the truth. And I mean, at the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, I heard about Apparently, Bloemfontein is one of the biggest cities, or one of the cities where the most abortions takes place. Apparently, every 30 minutes in the city, there's an abortion taking place. Okay, now, are we as the church happy with that? This is now an example. Are we happy that this just takes place? Or are we going to start to stand up against this evil that's prevailing in our city? And we prayed for that. And I heard as well that on the 6th of October, and I'm not going to be here, but if you guys want to, there's a 9 o'clock in the morning, there's an anti-abortion campaign around Mimosa Mall. They want to get enough people where they're going to form a human chain and surround Mimosa Mall with posters and everything against this whole thing of abortion in the city, making a stand against abortion in the city. And so that is awesome that some people are deciding to stand up for the truth and to say that we will not tolerate this evil. We will not tolerate where girls start to compete because they're so bitter, they've been hurt by guys, that they're going to compete just to see how many abortions they can have and who can have the most abortions. That is what's happening in the city at the moment. Some of us don't even know this. So you see, but we need to start to stand up against the stuff. We need to be bold to stand up, and it takes a heart's conviction, and it takes saying, Lord, we want to be your hands and feet in whichever way you wanted to use us, Lord, but we want to be your hands and feet. And obviously some of these campaigns, I mean, if it's not from the Spirit of God, then it's a dead work and it'll make a bit of noise, but it's not going to make a lasting impact. So I'm not saying go and join every campaign now, because a campaign is also only the start of something. But we need to trust God to have boldness to stand up. And I have a friend in Pretoria. He lost his job just after we got here to Bloem. He told me that he had lost his job because he had started a job in Joburg, and then he found out that he was forced to use pirated software to do his work, to do the job. Everyone else was using pirated software in the company, and he just felt the Lord saying to him, he's not going to carry on with this. He's going to say, listen, I actually want to make a stand, and say, you guys better buy the software, you better get the right software else. And they just fired him. They said, well, sorry, you better go then. And he was happy with that. And he said, Lord, I trust you for another job. And the Lord provided another job for him in Pretoria. He was driving through every day, and the Lord provided for him a job even closer to where he stayed. And all glory to him. But you see, this takes a boldness to stand up and say, Lord, we're not going to use pirated software in our company. Even if everyone is doing it, if it's not right, it's not right. And we're going to start to stand up in boldness. So you see, it takes to be the hands and feet of Jesus doesn't come easy. It requires a boldness, just like these friends of Daniel's. And then the story carries on. And these two points go hand in hand. The second one, verse 17, if this is the case, he carries on and he says to the king, if this is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. So they are very bold and they say, this is what's going to happen, O king. And if not, O king, if we have to die, let it just be known to you that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You see, to be the hands and feet of Jesus doesn't only require boldness, it also requires knowing who God is in your life. Knowing the character, knowing the ability of God. It requires faith. Understanding who God is. God's character and God's ability, we must get to know who God is in our lives. Otherwise, we won't have faith. We will start to doubt and say, God, are you really going to come through for us here? But the great thing about these guys is they recognize that, you know what, God doesn't owe me anything. If I die now, you know, eternity is awesome. I know that I'm going to be in heaven. I know that I'm going to be in eternity. God doesn't owe me. I can even give up my life for him because he has already given up his life for me. And so they weren't like, oh, we're going to be all offended with God if he doesn't come through with us. They were happy to say, God, if you don't heal us now, if you don't deliver us, if you don't save us, Lord, it's okay, we'll still worship you. We're still not going to compromise on bowing down to anything else, any other idols. And you see, this is the difference between religion and faith. Dead religion doesn't happen or doesn't lead to action, doesn't lead to being bold and to start to testify about God. You see, I believe that being the hands and feet of Jesus requires not only faith, but as James chapter 2 says, faith and works go together. If you can't show me your work, your faith by your works, then your faith is dead. The Bible talks about that, faith leading to action. And in this case, they testified. In this case, they witnessed. They were not ashamed to say, the God we serve is awesome. The God we serve is a living God. You see, so it's time for us not only to have this faith in our minds, but faith doesn't happen, yeah, in it starts here with a conviction. It starts in your mind and in your heart. But you know what? Faith leads to action. So this faith here led to these people testifying and saying, this God whom we serve, He's the only God. He's the awesome God. And you see, many times we use the excuse that our lives must just be a witness, you know. And that's actually a valid point. But you see, sometimes we use it as an excuse not to witness, not to reach out and to preach the gospel, not to testify. And it's not about Bible bashing people, but it's about being bold and having a faith in God that as you testify, God will be glorified. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that when you testify of Him, that He will be glorified? Do you believe that lives can change? Do you believe that things will happen when you testify? Because I believe that's why we don't testify many times. We don't testify and give God the glory out in the open because we're scared maybe God is not going to come through for us. Maybe God is not going to be glorified. Maybe we're going to feel like such idiots because no one's going to respond. But you see, it's not just about living a life that shows the gospel. This quote here, and I'm reading from this article in the Joy magazine. By the way, you guys, these Joy magazines are available at the info table for 20 Rand. It's much cheaper than in the shop, so get yourself one. The new ones have come out, the October editions. But yeah, in the September edition of Joy magazine, there was a great article written here about how we've misquoted this quote by St. Francis of Assisi. Now, who knows the quote by St. Francis? Or it wasn't even by St. Francis of Assisi. But everyone says, St. Francis of Assisi said the following, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. Okay? But you know what? St. Francis of Assisi did a lot of preaching. So I don't think he would have said this quote. And in this article, they say that it's incorrectly quoted because it doesn't tie up with how St. Francis of Assisi lived. He preached 5 times a day. He preached the gospel, so he wouldn't have said, if necessary, use words. Why? Because the gospel, you see, we cannot lead people to ourselves and just have showing a good life. Showing that, ooh, we're good Christians, and just by our lifestyle, and I'm not saying now live a bad lifestyle, still live a good lifestyle. But that is not going to tell people the good news of the gospel. Your life alone, I mean, I don't want people just to see my life, because my life has lots of failures. My life is just a part of the gospel. My life isn't the gospel that's going to change someone. The gospel must be preached, you see. And he gives a great quote here. He says, we should live in such a way that our lives point to the work and person of Jesus. That's all very well. However, without proclaiming Christ, our deeds merely exalt themselves. Isn't that true? Many times we live and we just want to exalt our deeds. We want to do good deeds. We want to do good things. But we're not telling a person that the gospel is the good news for you. You need to repent and be saved. You need to repent and turn to God and start to worship God. And however you're going to preach the gospel, but the truth is, we cannot just live a good life and expect people to see Jesus through us. And it's just like these guys. They realize they can't just stand back and not say anything. They need to testify about the greatness of God. And tell them, listen, yeah, we understand how awesome God is. And we know He's able to deliver us. But you know what? We are so committed to Him. He's so real in our lives that even if we die, we're going to actually die for Him. So we need to testify a little bit more, friends. We need to testify of the gospel of Jesus Christ and not just live a good life. Because guess what? Our lives aren't actually that great, to be honest. We make mistakes. And so we need to tell the people that, you know what? My life is in God's hands. Tell them that you still make mistakes. I'm still a sinner and I'm still receiving forgiveness every day. And you know what? The same can happen for you. You can also receive Jesus. But if we don't preach and we don't tell people about the goodness of Christ, they're not going to know where to start in terms of this faith. We need to be bold to preach the gospel. Life starts getting exciting. Okay, and the story continues. Just shake someone next to you and just wake the person up because this is life happening right here. Life is happening this evening. The third point. Not only do we need to have faith and to have boldness in being the hands and feet of Jesus, but this is where it really starts to happen here. The story continues. Nebuchadnezzar gets very angry because these guys have just told him, we are not going to bow down, we're not going to do what you say we're going to do, we will go to that furnace, we're happy with that. And so he gets very angry and he heats the furnace 7 times hotter, and in the process 3 mighty men get killed. So he's not really doing a great job, this king. But anyway, he's killing his own people in trying to kill these guys. So anyway, then in verse 24, it says, the king was so astonished. And he rose in haste and he spoke and said to his council, did we not cast three men? I mean, am I going cuckoos here? Because surely we cast three men into the fire. And they answered this, yes, O king, we did. But he said, look, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. What is going on here, people? What is happening? King Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the fire and he says, listen, we better just stop all this because this is freaky. This is very weird here. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out, servants of the Most High, come out. And then they came out from the midst of the fire. And the satraps and the administrators, the governors and the king's counselors all gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. Listen to that. First of all, whose bodies the fire had no power. Secondly, the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. And fourthly, the smell of fire was not on them. I don't know about you, but when you're standing next to a briarflies fire and you've just briar for a couple of hours, your clothes stink like smoke, okay? Has anyone had that experience? Vasi manavat braai any ice fanant, okay? Your clothes smell like fire. It's not very nice to wear those same clothes again the next day, okay? And yeah, none of these things happen to these guys. Should this be in the Bible? Can we understand this? Have you ever thought about the story? It's a bit weird. Eh? It's a bit wonderful. It's a bit miraculous. You see, being the hands and feet of Jesus doesn't only require faith and boldness, but I believe in these end times, being the hands and feet of Jesus is going to involve the supernatural. It's going to involve the Spirit of God intervening in the form of the Son of Man or an angel or whoever coming down to intervene in our affairs. That's when life starts to happen. That's when life in the Spirit happens. You see, we cannot do it without the supernatural. Can anyone say amen this evening? Otherwise, we're playing religion. Otherwise, we're doing it on our own strength. We're just carrying on and we're doing the same old, and lives are not going to be changed unless the supernatural happens. And the greatest miracle of all, obviously, is when someone comes to repentance. We saw it happen at the CD launch. We see it happen every now and again, but we don't see it often. Do we see masses of unbelievers coming to repentance? No, because we don't see the supernatural very often. And the supernatural is here with us, but do we believe it? Do we believe it's here with us? Do we invite an angel and the Son of Man and the Holy Spirit, whoever is going to come and be involved, but it's a spiritual thing. And it's obviously Jesus wants to be glorified through this. And it was just that this image was not the Son of Man, it was like the Son of Man. And obviously talks about an antitype, someone like the Son of Man, a pre-incarnate Christ almost, saying that there is still going to be a Christ coming. But yeah, in the Old Testament, the angel representing the Son of Man came down and was involved and saved Daniel and saved Daniel's friends from disaster and from death. But you see, I really believe that in the end times, we are not going to be able to change the world by natural means. We are not going to be able to change the world by just playing church and just having a church service and, you know, having nice foundations and Bible school. And it's all very great and everything. But I believe God in the end times wants to restore the supernatural to the church. But you see, it's not going to be about the pastor desiring the supernatural. It's not going to be about a few leaders desiring the supernatural. If all of us desire the supernatural in our lives, it's going to start to manifest. And these guys understood this. These guys knew that God was able. They confessed it. They said, we believe, O King, that God is going to deliver us. But they were happy also to say, Lord, even if you don't owe us anything. But Lord, we still believe you are able to do the supernatural in our midst. And there God honored them and God came down and he was so excited because he knew there were hearts ready to receive the supernatural and to be saved. So I want to ask, are we really being the hands and feet of Jesus? Are we really worshiping in spirit and in truth? This is what God wants to desire. Or God wants us to desire from him. And he's ready to give it to us. He's ready to anoint us with the supernatural. He's already given us his Spirit. But we need to activate it in our lives and say, Holy Spirit, come and do miracles in our midst. Come and heal through us. Come and save through us. Come and do whatever, Lord. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe, the Bible says. If we preach the gospel, and that's why it's so important, not just to live a good life, But it says those who preach the gospel and believe, signs and wonders will follow. The supernatural. Are you desiring that in your life tonight? But it's here for us. It's available. What is different? And sometimes we're praying for revival and we're praying for all these things to happen, but the Holy Spirit has been poured out already. It's here in our midst. And tonight, if there are people sick in this place, I trust God that people will be healed tonight, that you can have a testimony. If there are people bound by whatever tonight, if you're just frustrated in your mind and you want freedom tonight, God is here to give you freedom, to give you a testimony. But you know, sometimes we don't really want a testimony. You know, to be honest, I get very frustrated when, whether it is, there's a leaders meeting or any cell group, and we start off the cell group saying, okay, how was your week? And what are people doing? They're sitting there, oh, it's okay, you know. Oh, it's work and class and that's it, eh? That's all your week was about, just about the natural life. Where's the supernatural? Where are the miracles? Where are the testimonies? If people can't even testify by just saying, yesterday morning I just praised God because I just realized, look at the sun came out and the day was great and I praised God. That's a testimony. But you know, we think these testimonies aren't worth sharing because, I suppose everyone does it. No, everyone doesn't wake up like that every morning. Everyone doesn't have the boldness to praise God and to say, depression, leave in Jesus' name. There's a great day out here. There's life happening out here. And so when we get together, we must be so excited and say every day, Lord, give me a testimony today. Give me boldness to share this testimony, first of all, and not to think it's a small little thing. So I want to encourage you this evening, start small. Start to see the testimonies in your life that God has done. It's really always there. It's there, but we just sometimes think, oh, it's not so important. It is important. It is important to God. And it glorifies Him when we testify and when we start to give Him glory. And how are we gonna ever testify in front of unbelievers if we can't even testify amongst ourselves? I mean, if you're in a cell group and everyone's there, or you're in a leaders meeting and people are not testifying about God's greatness, then how are we going to do it in front of unbelievers? Okay, because we need to start with the house of God and say, we want to encourage someone else to say, Lord, the Lord is great in my life. Yes, I'm still missing it many times. I'm still, you know, a sinner, and I still need Jesus. But you know what? Jesus is revealing Himself to me, and I love Him. I honor Him, and I glorify Him for that. I'm not perfect, but you know, I know the One is perfect, and He's speaking to me. I'm in relationship with Him. Because if we are going to be the hands and feet of Jesus, these things must happen. These things must start to happen in our lives every day. Are you with me this evening? The last point. The story continues, and it says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, and he said, blessed. When he saw all these things, he saw that their bodies had no there was no fire on their body. The power of the fire had nothing on their bodies. The hair of the head was not singed. The garments were not affected. And obviously, he could see this, and maybe he smelled their clothes. I don't know how he knew this, because the writer says that all these things happened, and the king obviously saw this, that there was no smell of fire on them. How can this be? These guys have just been in this hectically hot fire, and nothing's happened. He just says to them, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted in Him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve or worship any other god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language who speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And then the king promoted the three of them in the province of Babylon. You see, when we become the hands and feet of Jesus and we start to testify and we start to be bold and we have faith in an awesome God, what happens? Lives around us change. Lives around us start to be impacted by the gospel, by the good news. This is true worship, saints. Are you excited about this evening? See, true worship is not just about singing a few songs, living a good life, and having a relationship with Jesus. That is part of it, but that is not the ultimate. The ultimate is when we start to see lives changed around us. When we start to see lives being impacted. And you know what? The good news is that it doesn't matter whether lives truly repent and turn away. Because guess what? This king didn't, in the end, give his life to the Lord. He was impacted and he was amazed and he thought, everyone better worship this God because this is the true God. But you know what? In his life, he was just still focused on himself and he didn't really repent. But you know what? It's not about people's response. Our job is just to testify and to witness of a great God. And it's God's job to save people. And that sets us free. We don't have to save people. We don't have to try to get people to be saved. People will get saved when they see an awesome God that we worship. People will respond to the love of God when they see how awesome God is in our midst. And it's not up to us to persuade people. God and the Holy Spirit, Jesus, will do that. We are just supposed to live lives like these three guys, to testify and to see an impact made. And you see, it's awesome. Stories like this in the Bible are inspiring. Why? Because they are just simply ordinary people. Would you agree with that? Why is this in the Bible? Because they're ordinary people. The Old Testament is trying to say, since the beginning of creation, they have just been ordinary people. Everyone is created in the image of God, and everyone is created, or not created, but everyone has fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned. These are ordinary people. Just like us today. Living in a sinful, fallen world. They were in Babylon, in hectically difficult, frustrating circumstances, because everyone was against them. They were faced with many challenges, just like us today, just like all of us, ordinary people, just like us today. But they chose to believe in, stand up for, and witness about an all-powerful, miracle-working, amazing, awesome God. Ordinary people, just committed to doing the will of God. And guess what? They got to see how lives around them were impacted. And they weren't only just ordinary people, that God started to promote them. And I want to say this evening is, if you are ready, God is going to promote you in your studies. One day when you work, God is going to promote you into influential positions like this. God is going to start to trust us with positions where we can influence people. And that's why these guys had such a great impact. They were in positions of influence. But you know what? We are not ready sometimes for these positions. And that's why the positions go to many unbelievers out there, because God will not be mocked. God is waiting for us to say, Lord, we are to be used by you. We are to be your hands and feet. You see, they were able to see our lives were impacted by God, not by them, by God himself. But they were obedient to do what God said they must do. And the first thing was not to worship anything else, to worship him alone. And through that passion, they were able to testify, they were able to serve God, and they were able to be obedient to God. And that's why a saying goes that the highest form of worship is obedience. The highest form of worship is when we obey God and his word. And as I said, it's not up to us to save people. But we must be obedient. That is true worship, is when we're obedient to the call that God has called us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. There's this quote by Nick Wojcik. I don't know if you guys know that guy. He's actually on the new Joy magazine. He's on the front cover. No hands and no feet. I showed a video clip of his life a while ago. But you can read it in the magazine there. Go get his article. But he says here, he says, if God can use a man without arms and legs, and he's been all over the world to preach, and obviously, if you know his story, he was depressed. He almost took his life, and God saved him, and God gave him a purpose to preach the gospel and to, you know, do motivational speaking and everything like that. And it says, if God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then he will certainly use any willing heart. Don't let your circumstances limit you. That's what Nick Wojcik said. If God can use a man without arms and legs to be his hands and feet, then he will certainly use any willing heart. Don't let your circumstances limit you. Let's all bow our heads as the band comes forward this evening. Father, we just want to thank you for your presence in this place. We want to thank you for your word, Lord, your inspiration. I want to thank you, Lord, that you used the story in the Bible, Lord, throughout the ages, Lord, and you're using it tonight in our lives, Lord. A story of three ordinary men, Lord, who were able to stand up and be counted for you, Lord, who were able to obey the call, Lord, who did your will by testifying, Lord, by witnessing about a great and an awesome God. A miracle-working God, Lord. And you were able to cause the supernatural to happen, Lord, because you trusted them. And you wanted yourself to be glorified and no one else. And Lord, in our lives, many times, even a testimony, many times glorifies ourselves, Lord. Our lives are, Lord, just bring glory to us in the end, because we have been so good and we have done good works and we are such good people. But Lord, tonight we just realize you want us to just witness about the one who's come to seek and save the lost. Lord, and to be your hands and feet, Lord, is not a burden, Lord. And I just sense even in this place tonight, many people feel they so desire to do it, but Lord, in their minds, the devil has lied and said that to be the hands and feet, to be Jesus to other people is just such a burden, you're never going to make it. So just have a relationship with Jesus. That's all you need to do. That's your worship, is just to have a relationship, and you don't need to do any, you don't need to follow Him or impact other lives. You just have a comfortable time with Him because it's such a burden, and that's a lie in the name of Jesus. I want to say tonight that to be the hands and feet of Jesus is the most fulfilling, most satisfying thing on this earth. And Lord, as you said in John 4:34, you said to the disciples that my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. Lord, we just want to tap into where You are, Lord, at the moment, because You want us, Lord, not to do stuff, but Lord, from a place of relationship with You, You want us to be an extension of who You are on this earth. Thank You that You went away, that You left Your Spirit. You sent Your Spirit, Lord, to empower us to do the work of the Father. And Lord, we're desiring this evening. We are hungry and thirsty, Lord, to do Your will, but many times we don't know how. But we want to ask You this evening to show us, Lord. Give us a testimony. Give us more words. Give us a lifestyle, God, where we witness and where we testify of Your greatness in our lives. Lord, we are not going to be silent any longer. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because we know, Lord, and maybe some of us are not fully convinced, but we want to say tonight we are impacted by the gospel. We have been impacted and we are not ashamed to share that same impact, Lord, that someone else's life can also be impacted with the gospel. So we praise You tonight for doing an amazing work of circumcision in us, Lord, a work of change in us. Holy Spirit, come and minister to each and every one of us tonight, Lord, about our greatest need. Our greatest need is not just to be saved, Lord. Our greatest need is to truly fulfill the works of the Father, Lord. Because You haven't saved us, Lord, to have a comfortable life or a great life or just to carry on and have our conscience cleansed, Lord. You have saved us for a great purpose, Lord. And Lord, we see it throughout the Bible. We see where Apostle Paul just said that my life is crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And we know, Lord, that Paul's testimony was that he planted churches all over the world, all over the Middle East, Lord. He planted churches that have impacted our lives to this day, Lord. And all the great people of the Bible were not ashamed of the gospel, Lord. And that's why their names are written, not only in the book of life, but, Lord, their testimony is in the Word of God today. Because they were bold, Lord, to live for You. To do Your work, Lord. To establish kingdoms, Lord. To live by faith like Abraham and Moses and David. All the great saints, Lord, of the past. Walked by faith and walked in obedience to the call that You had on their lives. So we thank You tonight that we can also respond to that call tonight.